This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong. Now, it can be very easy to look at the high flyers at the top of your hierarchy and feel like you can never get there yourself. But it is entirely possible to become a high achiever. Here to speak to us today about the secrets of high achievers is Dato Noor Azizan Abdulmajid, who is a leadership and motivation trainer. So first of all, thank you so much for coming here and speaking to us today.
Thank you, Christine.
All right. Well, let's start off with, what exactly is the definition of a high achiever?
Hi, everyone. Good to be with you. So when we talk about high achievers is a person who can inspire and motivate not just other people, but also to inspire and motivate he or herself. And those people, they have the ability to maintain a champion mentality and also have optimism and realistic self-confidence, especially during a tough time. And when we say we inspire people, you know, it is not just leadership qualities. It is the ability to inspire the positive emotion and also the self-belief, the desire and self-confidence in all the other members of the team, especially during difficult times.
All right, fantastic. Well, I think that's really important, especially for people who are, let's say, starting their own business or people who are leaders of a team, where you not only have to be a positive influence on other people, but also yourself.
Correct, yes.
Right. So there are three pillars of high achievers. There is a positivity, gratitude, and self-worth. So let's kind of go through them one by one. First of all, how does positivity help make you a high achiever?
Okay, in life, of course, you know, you have to go through turbulence at some time. So the best possible recipes, you know, for each individual is to stay positive. To stay positive and to understand, not just because of why it happened and why it has just happened to me and not to others, but also to find the lesson learned from those incidents or from those things. So try to be positive and go through that, you know, but it requires a lot of courage. It requires a lot of will, you know, to go through. So just be positive alone, it is not sufficient, you know, if you don't have courage.
It's not just about being positive in terms of your outlook on life as well. I think it's especially focusing on being able to look at mistakes or failures or obstacles as a challenge or a lesson to be learned.
Correct, yes.
How would you be able to improve your positivity if you don't already have that mentality?
Okay, so you have to train yourself. You have to speak to yourself and try to understand why it happens again and again and again, and then find you know, the best possible answers. Only you yourself will know, you know, the answers.
Can you give us an example of when that might be applied?
Okay, I give you one good example as an entrepreneur. If you look at in the case of Samsung, right? Prior to Samsung dominate, you know, all the electrical appliances, the smart mobile phone and things like that, people see the Japanese product everywhere. You know, name it from NEC, from Sony and other brands. But over time, you know, why don't you think and study why Samsung is so successful now? You know, why says Samsung is so successful? Because they have a lot of positivity in them. If you look at the history, you know, the Korean people, they are a bit inferior to the Japanese. Japanese came and invade them and do a lot of the humiliation, you know, to Korean people. So Korean decided one fine day, they have to beat Japanese, you know, at any given point. So what they did was, you know, they do the copycat. They study, you know, how the Japanese works, you know, the systems, the inventions, you know. So they are becoming a creator, the inventor, instead of to be just a users. So with that positive attitude, you know, they told everybody, one fine day, we are going to beat Japan. And today, you will see, you know, direct from your fridge, your computers, your TV monitors, your smartphone, everywhere, elsewhere, you know, you can see Samsung products.
So instead of taking their kind of historical conflict with Japan as something that is quite defeatist, they looked at it in a positive way as a sort of healthy competition.
Yes, correct.
And then now, you know, Samsung is one of the biggest tech brands.
Yes.
And encapsulates a lot of different gadgets and stuff, including like everything from phones to home appliances. So that is a really great way of looking at things positively and applying that to, you know, being able to run a business. So I think that's fantastic. Right. So moving on from positivity, the next pillar of high achievers is gratitude. So what effect does gratitude have on becoming a high achiever?
Okay. The problem with high achievers, you know, they always want to win. They always want to compete. They always want to struggle to get the best and the best and the best. But the fact of the matter is that it's very difficult to sustain success. To achieve success is one thing, but to maintain and to retain success is two different things. So normally, if you look at the attitude by the top CEOs, the top 10 CEOs in the world, you know, they are all agreed that you must have gratitude. You must be thankful. You know, you have to be humble. Continue to be humble, continue to be thankful, and you will get more and more and more.
It's almost like a relationship in a sense where you do have to work quite hard to maintain that relationship. It's not just about that initial spark, right? It's actually about taking that spark but creating something that is sustainable and consistent as well.
Precisely.
And it's interesting that you bring up gratitude as a big factor in that and being thankful for what you have and also what you can achieve in the future. But I think for a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs, because you're always chasing, in a sense, like the next big thing, or you're trying to make a bigger business or trying to expand, it can often be difficult to feel satisfied, not only with your business, but with yourself. It sounds very, very simple, but it's very easy to take what you have for granted, I think, as well.
Yes.
So if you feel that maybe you're not in a position where you have a lot of gratitude for yourself, what can you do to think about how to be grateful?
If you look at the personality traits of high achievers, you know, they always wake up much earlier than other people, and they start doing the meditation and they start doing the contemplating what they want to do, what they want to achieve, and how you move from one point to another. It's good if you have a winning mentality. You work hard. You want to win, you know, most of the time. But by being humble, you will absorb more, you will get more.
And that in and of itself as well feeds back into the first pillar being positivity.
Correct.
And being able to learn from what you have done and being able to kind of take things one at a time and see how you can make that into a good experience.
Correct, yes.
Right. The last pillar of high achievers is self-worth. So how does having self-worth make you a high achiever?
I'll give you one good example, right, in terms of what we call your net worth or your self-worth. If you work in a fast food stores, you will be getting paid, you know, per hour. And per hour is X ringgit, right?
Yep.
So if you work in that environment, then your value, if you work in there for 8 hours, multiply by, you know, X amount of ringgit per hour, then you will get some. So that's your self-worth, your net worth in terms of dollars and cents. But in another industry, right, what you need to do is to elevate yourself, upgrade your skill, upgrade your knowledge so that your net worth can be more and more. So that what is your net worth per hour, right? If you work in the industry, probably, you know, your net worth probably 10 ringgit per hour, right? But if you upgrade yourself, you know, you have a passion, desire and courage, then, you know, you can get probably 100 ringgit per hour or 1,000 ringgit per hour, depending on which sectors you are in.
So it's not just a sort of sense of self-confidence, but it's also about being able to invest in yourself.
Correct, yes.
And to be able to get the skills that you need so that you can make the most out of the time in a day that you have.
Precisely.
So you can earn as much as possible, be it money or emotionally.
Precisely.
Or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. So what are some of the steps that we could take to improve our self-worth?
Okay, in order to improve your self-worth, I just read the book by Dr. Marshall. What he was saying is that, you know, there are three things that you need to observe, you know, in order for you to be more successful. It is not that you are not successful, but if you want to be more successful in life. The first one is, the big hurdle is, you know, the attitude of winning too much. All the time, you want to win. When you having a discussion with your wife, for example, you always want to win. When you have a chat with your colleague, you always have the attitude you want to always win. And when you have a chat with your staff, you know, definitely you also want to win. By winning all the time, sometimes it's not good. you know, because you cannot get input from others. You know, you just being too assertive to just to show off that you know everything, you are knowledgeable, and there is not much room for you to improve. You know, so in order for you to elevate yourself, you know, to increase your net worth, you have to learn. You know, try to compromise, not to win all the time.
Yeah. I've heard this style as a sort of dichotomy between discussion and debate.
Correct.
You know, a lot of people will go into a conflict, especially in a debate mentality, where it's not about reaching an actual positive conclusion where both people can, or both parties can benefit. It's about winning the argument.
Yes.
Which is not productive, right?
Correct, yes.
So when you go into this kind of situation with a discussion mentality in mind, you can often find a way where both parties are, if not equally satisfied, at least you've come to some sort of compromise.
Correct.
And that teaches you a lot more, not only about the conflict at hand, but also how you work with these people as well.
Precisely. And that relates to point number two, which is we call adding too much. You know, when you are adding too much, you know, you try to value add too much. It seems that you know a lot of things, and you know all matters. You want to give opinion. You are the one who dictate where to go, where you want to be, and things like that. And the problem with that attitude is that you know you are becoming a roadblock. You know, not just to yourself, but also to other people. So the problem also with successful people is to train themselves to be a good listener. If you look at Bill Gates, if you look at Mark Zuckerberg and things like that, you know, when you have conversation with them, hardly you see them giving opinion unless it is really necessary.
It's almost sort of a quantity over quality sort of thing, right?
Right, yes.
Don't just add to the conversation when you have nothing to actually add productively.
And don't argue just for the sake of argument.
Right, I see. What's the third point?
The third point is humility. Humility, again, you know, is similar to be humble, right? These are the traits that many scholars study. You know, to increase your self-worth also, you need to be humble, to be a good listener, and, you know, appreciate other people's point of view.
All right. Well, it's time for some music right now. But after that, I'll continue speaking to Azizan about all the benefits of being a high achiever. So if you want to hear more about that discussion, stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Enterprise and you're listening to Raise Your Game. I'm Christine Wong. Earlier, I was speaking to Dato' Noor Azizan Abdul Majid, who is a leadership and motivation trainer, all about the three pillars of high achievers, because today we're discussing the secrets of high achievers. But now let's discuss some of the benefits of actually being a high achiever, because the three pillars are all about how you get there. So let's talk about the effects that has. So firstly, a benefit of being a high achiever for yourself is what you refer to as a personal management. So can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Okay, when we say about personal management, basically it requires a lot of skill, which is related to intrapersonal. Intrapersonal skill is the skill in which you try to understand as much as possible about yourself. In people's brain, it's quite unique, you know. I study a lot about how people think and the processes. And the way people process information is quite different with others. And how you see things also is different from other people. Your window is not the same as other people's window. So by really understand who is you, yourself, that will give you a lot of information about your intrapersonal, and that really influence, you know, how you personally manage yourself.
Right. So it's kind of a being self-aware and understanding what are the kind of things that you might approach with trepidation, what are the kind of things you might take a risk on, getting to know yourself a little bit more, not just for the sake of it, but also because that helps you to apply that to how you approach different situations.
Correct, yes.
Right, interesting. Because also earlier you mentioned a champion mentality state of optimism, is that right?
Yep.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about that as well? What exactly is a champion mentality?
Okay, the champion mentality, you know, you put the objective, you put the goal that you want to achieve. If you look back in December last year or January this year, you know, people will put the goal setting, you know. Yes, it is important. But people forgot what are the process, you know, in order for you to achieve the goal setting. What is important is to make sure that you do the execution. How people execute, you know, how they participate in the process, how they formulate the success, how they take action, that differentiate from one to another. Many people fail at the level of execution.
So take, for example, let's say you set a goal for you want to like lose X kg by the end of the year, right? But you set that goal and then you kind of don't really think about it. It's just like, I should do this thing. But if you take your processing into account, it's stuff like, okay, I want to go to the gym for at least 30 minutes for at least 3 times a week. And then that are the processes, right?
Correct, yes.
That actually gets you to where you need to be.
Yep.
Whether or not you actually reach the goal is kind of almost kind of secondary. It's about putting those actual executions into process so that you end up actually being able to make a start at least in moving towards that goal.
Yep. And then interesting point to observe. You know, people like to establish or they like to prepare the to-do list, right? Every year, every week, every month, you know, they have a list of item which they want to complete, they want to accomplish. So we call it to-do list. But many people forget there is another aspect in life which is very, very crucial and very, very important, which is what to stop list. Okay, what to stop list is you have to identify, you know, a framework. You have to identify the list. What are you going to stop doing in order for you to achieve, you know, your objective? If you want to lose weight, what are the things that you got to stop doing? You know, stop doing, stop taking a lot of calories. You know, and also the rest of your life balancing acts. So try to change, try to switch from to-do list from to stop list. And try to do a stop list. Then, you know, your brain shall work better in that manner.
That's actually really interesting. I've never thought about things that you have to stop. You know, you're always thinking that in order to achieve a goal, it has to be very active in a sense.
Yep.
But with the kind of to stop, or I guess the to don't list, right?
Yep.
It's thinking about all the stuff that you should restrain yourself
yep.
with. So that's actually a very interesting point. All right, let's take it from a personal aspect to the professional aspect. How about the workplace? What is the connection between being a high achiever and a good leader?
Okay, in terms of comparison, right, I just try to simplify things much better. Everybody try to be successful. Everybody try to be successful. Everybody try to be good leaders. But along that process, and again, people tend to forget how to be and how to learn to be a good followers. In organization, you know, in especially when you at the workplace, these are the problem with our society. We have been trained, you know, everybody born as leaders, and you have that kind of mentality. But without understanding, without try to learn to be a good followers, there is no way you can be a good leader. It results to the office politics, gossiping, you know, people try to challenge each other, try to show off, I'm better than you, you're better than me, you know, and things like that. At the end of the day, you spend 8 hours a day, at least minimum, at the office. And, you know, you spend a lot more time with your peers. And after that, you try to compete with them, you know, all the time. And you jeopardize your relationship with them. I think it's just a waste of your energy.
Also, just as a quick note as well, logically, if everyone is a leader, then there's no one to lead.
Correct, yes.
Right? Sometimes it's not the right path to immediately go straight to wanting to be like a manager or something like that. You actually have to take some time to just be part of the team.
Correct, yes.
And that in and of itself will actually help you to be a leader in the future if you need to be.
Correct, yes.
Right. And also, how does being a high achiever actually help organizations as a whole?
Okay, because the traits as high achievers always have a patience. They have a patience, they have the right attitude, they put a lot of efforts, you know. So with that in mind, so at the end of the day, the organization that we built, you know, they try to produce the best of it. In terms of results, there is nobody can guarantee, yes, you do this, you get this, you do this, you get that. But the reality in life is that just do your best. Just do your best and give the best and to be the best. At the end of the day, the results will tell you where you end up.
Right, but you speak as well about how high achievers can eliminate resistance in organizations by reversing limitations in thinking. So how does that actually work?
Okay, basically, what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, in most cases, the resistance are within yourself. You know, the biggest enemy, you know, sits within yourself. You always try, you know, to establish, for example, the to-do list. Right, I want to do that, I want to do this, I want to becoming that. But you never have a time to establish or to prepare to stop list.
Right.
All right. By reversing those resistance, basically, you got to remove the barriers within yourself, and after that, you'll be more open, you know, to talk to other people.
I see. That's actually very interesting. That, you know, I think a lot of people would say that they're focused, but it might actually be that their mind is actually quite closed to right. different ways of thinking or different opportunities or something that might actually help them. But because they are so focused on a specific kind of idea of how to be and how to keep winning, for example, then maybe they're not actually looking at the bigger picture right. as a whole. So that's also really fascinating as well. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about being a high achiever?
Okay, so I just want to share the latest trending for the high achievers, how they think and what are the characteristics and what are the skills that they have to prepare for now and also for the future. There are 5 skills or traits that must be equipped by all the high achievers. Point number 1 is we have to start thinking globally. Business are changing dramatically with the digital revolution at the moment. I worked for IBM last time. Okay, I used to work for IBM, and I'm quite amazed when I look at things being handled. The supply chain process, for example, the business card being prepared in Bangalore in India, and they do the purchase of stationery. They do purchase, you know, for the global worldwide usage. They purchase from one country, and they want to produce excess card. They buy from another country because of the cost constraint. You know, it's a lot cheaper. So the supply chain also changed dramatically. Last time, when you do business, you just concentrate in your country. But nowadays, the business diversified globally. There is no border anymore. You can purchase from everywhere. You can purchase from online portal, you know. So it gives you a lot more flexibility. So if you want to be successful, try to think globally. The second one is the cross-cultural appreciation. So this is very important. This is very important, especially to the Malaysian society, right? Last time, people just think about their own race, their own culture and things like that. But now, it's already a cross-culture, you know, which you need to appreciate. You need to appreciate people from other races. You need to respect their culture. And by understanding these cultural changes, you know, this country can be a better country for us. And then you must be technological savvy. If you are not the technology savvy, but you need to understand at least how to use the technology, because the future with the Industrial Revolution 4.0 and with the Internet of Things coming in, it will change entirely how you do things, you know, at work or at your home. So be prepared, you know, to use the technology as much as possible. The fourth one is building alliance and partnership. Last time, you know, you can be alone. You can work silo, but not now. You need to build your own networking. You know, networking not just in Malaysia. If you have business, it's better for you to have other alliances, you know, in other countries as well. And the last one is you got to understand that, you know, if you have a staff or if you have a family and you have a kids, they are now very knowledge workers and they are very knowledgeable person, you know, as part of the family members, in which you cannot simply say, hey, you just shut up, you know, just follow my instruction, just follow orders. It will not happen again. You know, people will speak up, people will give ideas. So that's where you need to be humble as much as possible, listen attentively and try to get, you know, as much information for you.
That's a fantastic note to wrap things up on. So thank you so much, Dato' Noor Azizan Abdul Majid, for telling us all about the secrets of high achievers.
Thank you, Christine.
All right. If you have missed any of this interview, do download the BFM app to listen to and download the podcast as well. We've got some great tunes coming up. But for now, I'm Christine Wong, and you've been listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.